Welcome back to the Having Words podcast. My name is Josh Martello, and in this podcast, I chat with interesting guests to discuss their stories, their experiences, their inspirations, and their motivations. This week, I chat with Michelle Hoy. We answer some rapid-fire questions to do with inspiration and perspective, talk about personal growth, optimism, being an introvert and an extrovert, and the benefits of having a life bucket list. To support the podcast for the cost of a cup of coffee a month, you can become a Patreon member at patreon.com/havingwords. Now, Michelle, you've never been on a podcast before.
No, I have not. This is my first time, so it's pretty exciting. Pretty nervous.
How do you feel? Just nervous?
A little nervous. I thought about backing up, but you know, I'm here now, so.
Tried to, and I locked you in the house. Michelle, come back. The door's locked, and I held the key up and actually spotted it, even though the back door's wide open.
I'll make my great escape soon.
Now, unlike actually a lot of my guests, you don't actually listen to podcasts either, do you?
No, I don't. I probably should.
You don't need to.
Yeah. Well, but, I feel like I should, though.
But like, okay, so from your point of view, what's your exposure of a podcast? Like, what? How would you define a podcast?
Well, I know that it's mainly all just audio-based, and it's basically about any topic and people just having discussions about various things, really. That's a very generalized summary of what a podcast is.
But it is, and like, this is the difficult thing, because there's no one description of a podcast. Sure, you could be like, it's like an audio book, but with, it's like radio, a radio audio book.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like that, but like, a podcast can be anything from a story, like an actual audio book, to a discussion of like the latest news headlines and politics. It could literally be anything, which is why I love it, because this format of the Having Words podcast can change so much, and it will change so much. So today, for every new guest we have on, I have five rapid fire questions for you. Now, keep in mind, I say rapid, but they're not rapid at all.
It's a lie then, basically.
It's a lie. I have like a full on crisis in the podcast. You can literally take as long as you need to answer these questions. If you could.
No.
Correct answer. Actually, that really scared me. Because I really am. It's like, if you could write a note to your younger self, what would you say in only two words?
Two words? That's very little.
Yeah. Hi, Michelle.
The two words probably be maybe.
Yes,
that's it.
Younger Michelle's like, what does this mean?
Save yourself might be a nice one.
Yeah.
Because I have this little quote that I came up with a while back, and it was, when you can, save yourself. But obviously, I can't put that into two words now, can I?
No, that works though, because I feel like young Michelle would get that. Wouldn't she?
Yeah.
How did you come up with that quote? Did you actually receive a note that said save yourself?
No, I don't know. I forgot how it... Oh, I remember now, but it's... In summary, I found myself being very complainy about a situation that I was in, and I kept on complaining about it to a friend of mine, and I realized how self-pitying I was. And
Were they things that you were complaining about where you could just kind of solve yourself?
Not necessarily solve by myself, but just something that I had to go through and think about and not just blast out every single thought that came to my mind. And when I realized how self-pitying I was while complaining to my friends, I just had to snap back at myself and was like, Michelle, you got yourself into the situation. If you want to, you know you can get out of it.
Yeah.
You just have to do it. So, you know, when you can... Save yourself.
When you can, save yourself. But shortly, save yourself.
Save yourself.
Save yourself.
I'm drowning.
Save yourself. When did you... How old were you when you came up with that?
This was actually pretty recent.
Really?
It happened when... Well, I found myself in the situation when I was in my first year.
Of university. Yeah. We've just graduated.
Yeah, we just graduated.
Yeah. 2019. Yep. Woo!
Yeah. Happy graduation day.
Happy graduation day.
it happened around first year. So I was... 18.
Oh, did you join when you were 18?
Yeah, I actually joined uni. No, sorry, 17.
Really?
Yeah, I started uni when I was 17.
Wow.
And I just graduated at 20.
That's crazy. Oh my God. So you actually, because it's, even if you develop that quote like just now, it's still at such a young age to have such kind of like a mature quote to stand by as well.
Yeah, I think like for me, I'm from Malaysia, and so I study abroad. Yeah. I study abroad in Brighton, obviously.
Yeah.
So studying abroad has definitely helped me mature and grow in terms of as a person and learning about other cultures and all that. So, and I generally like to surround myself with more mature people. I was going to say older people, but...
Old people! I like how they smell, okay. No, I definitely get that. I think Brighton is literally the one place which I've been to in the UK, which is so welcoming of different people. Obviously, it's like, what, the gay capital of the UK as well.
Yeah, exactly.
And so not only that, but I think it should just be the capital of the UK of allowing people to feel comfortable with themselves.
Yeah.
No matter how you want to be.
The capital of comfortability.
Whoa! I like that. Capital of comfortability. That's really
the
cool.
New Brighton!
The New Brighton! Not only gays is a slogan, not only gays,
but very comfortable.
Save yourself. We're very comfortable. I definitely get what you mean by that. And like, obviously for you, is this your longest trip away from Malaysia?
Probably, yeah. I only go back every once a year for like 3-4 weeks at a time. So I actually don't want to go back home, but that's a different story.
Someone hire me, please. save me.
Big international companies, I'm here. Email me for my CV.
Obviously, the question says your younger self. When would you like to give that to yourself? When do you think in the past yourself would need that piece of advice or the save yourself phrase?
Some part of me wants to say if I could, I would give it to myself when I was maybe 14 years old or something. But I think I would have just given it to myself right there and then, because obviously we all go through the things that we go through to grow to where we are today. So if you end up giving it to your earlier self, you it kind of just alters everything.
It does, and you don't know what kind of person you would have been, because obviously you learn the importance of that quote,
yeah,
and that phrase. And if you just get it, if you get it handed to you, it's like how I like to see it is money, for example. If you get handed money, you wouldn't know the hard work that went into it.
Yeah, exactly.
It. But if you do the hard work and receive the money, you understand where that came from. And you understand kind of the value of money means so much more sentimentally, if that makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think that quote also somewhat means a lot to me, because whenever I reflect on tough situations I find myself in, I always know to like just take a step back and see if it's doing me any harm. And if it is, you know, when you can't save yourself.
A few more steps back. Yeah, exactly. And like that's
get yourself out of situation, Michelle. God,
save yourself. And that's something which I try and promote as much as possible. Is like, and I feel like we get this in media a lot, is just having a different perspective, or just being able to have another perspective. I know. Have you seen A Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
I think I have. Yeah, it's been a long time since I've seen it.
It's a really good film. You should watch it again.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a gun in that, which is called like the Perspecto gun or something, and it literally is what it is, where you fire the gun and the people that you hit have the same perspective as yourself, and therefore it's supposed to be like, oh, if we all have the same perspective, there won't be war, there won't be conflict and everything. And yeah, like you just said, if people had this perspective, there would be a lot more understanding in the world. So yeah, I definitely get that.
There won't be need for world wars anymore, hey? Problem solved.
Or there will be for, I don't know, control of dogs. We want the dogs. And it's all the same perspective, but greed. Oh my god, this should be a greedo gun. Wait.
A greedy gun?
A greedy gun?
Something like that. Sounds so funny.
A greedy gun. Okay, question number two. You ready?
Oh god, we're only at question number two now.
It's alright, you ready?
Yeah.
Who inspires you, or who do you aspire to be like? You can say the host of Having Words podcast, Josh Martin.
He wishes.
Huh? What's that? I didn't hear that on the mic. What was that?
Sorry. mic got an aesthetic sound. but for real though, I have this person that I have always admired from afar. And she was my senior in high school. And back when I was in high school, I used to be an introvert actually. And I used to just be... I kept myself a lot. I just didn't know how to make friends.
Yeah.
And to see how far I've come from then is...
It has actually
a lot to do with her. Because when I first met her, I just admired how she was. She was just very outgoing and very bubbly person that just talked to anyone and could make friends anywhere. Mm. And I saw what she did and I just like, I want to be like her.
Yeah.
And I still follow her on Instagram and I see the things that she does. Like she blogs a lot and... She has this amazing relationship with her boyfriend and they go traveling a lot and they...
Living the life.
Pretty much. And they're just basically, as cheesy as it sounds, they are literally couple goals. And, but just in general, like her personality and the way she thinks about life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just when you meet someone and you can see that they have that zest for life.
Yeah.
She's basically one of those. And
you naturally get attracted to that kind of person, that energy as well.
Yeah, exactly. Because you want to... I mean, I would say, you know, two negatives repel, but I guess positives
attract.
math. Why? This math? Is why we study media.
Because we don't know math. Positive energy. That's really interesting. That's like an actual. That's a person which. Because a lot of the guests, when I give them that question, they say, oh, people that inspired them at the moment. And obviously, she does inspire you at the moment as well, I imagine. But she's inspired you from such a young, influential age that there's a difference right now. You've changed so much already as a person because of her and being inspired by her.
It's yeah, really even though I think I've somewhat maybe caught up to some path that she was on.
Yeah.
I know that I still have a lot of growing to do.
Yeah, oh, of course.
Plenty of growing to do. I think we all have.
Yeah, I think people see, when like talking about growing specifically, people see it as literally a tree. We are a tree. I'm a tree. How did I get here? And like obviously growing into a lovely flower or an amazing luscious tree is amazing, and like we all focus towards being at that point. But what we forget about is the journey of collecting the materials we need to grow is half of the experience. And if anything, so many like entrepreneurs and stuff, they speak about the journey being the most important part. It's not about the end destination. Mm. Like you can use that to inspire you now to get a good journey. And so, yeah, it is all about the journey, and like you're going through that. And I think even when you get to a point where you feel so confident and so comfortable with yourself and she's helped you get to that point, you're still gonna strive on to be a better person than you could ever imagine yourself to be. I definitely get that energy off you. Like you're I feel like we're very similar in the sense we're always striving to be the best possible version of ourselves, like mentally when it comes to the people around us and just in every capacity.
Yeah, 100%. Actually, it reminds me of this quote that I saw once, and it's such
Save
a
yourself.
Good quote. No, I wish it was that. I wish it was my own quote. But if I can I read it out?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's basically, personal growth becomes so addictive once you realize that it is always possible to improve your experience of being.
Oh my God, yeah. That hit me hard.
Yeah.
That makes so much sense.
So once you realize how much potential you always have,
yeah.
you could grow into,
yeah.
It just becomes so addictive because you just always want to grow.
Yeah, yeah.
And
like you see change as well. And then
yeah,
you
exactly.
Use that
and you see yourself growing
you.
And you like stepping out of your comfort zone or like improving in an area of creativity,
yeah.
And in your work or when you're writing,
developing
and
new passions.
It's amazing when you see yourself grow. And
it is.
You just crave that.
You do.
Little
and like,
achievements all the time.
I think the way that I've been exposed to it is when I was going to the gym and I quickly saw a massive change in my appearance and also in my mental health. Oh my God, I felt so much just more stable. It was incredible. And then that fueled me to want to keep going. But then with the gym as well, and I imagine it's the same with just being the best version of yourself. You do plateau a little bit. And then once you get to that point, it's your own motivation more
yeah.
than the changes that you've made. I think it's the same in this case as well. It's like there's only so much motivation you can get from the changes that you do create on yourself.
Yeah, especially when people that actually do plateau for like a solid 2 months and they don't see any change in it. But once they pass that little cliffhanger and just like down into the wherever they're going.
The pit of the, yeah.
Yeah, and it's really satisfying to see how great the results are.
Exactly. Well, yeah.
Keep at it.
The most important, I think so many people focus on the dip and really they should be focusing on the comeback. The comeback is the important part. Like it's all in good, the persistence and the consistency, but really the impressive bit is when the dips do happen, it's the coming back up after the dips. Such as like for myself and in my day-to-day life, if we got ill, you know, they are dips naturally in life and you do naturally come back up afterwards to like your healthy state. It's like that almost a little bit as well, if you get what I mean.
Yeah, there's actually something I tell myself every time when I get sick. And I rarely ever get sick because I like to think that my immune system is just fantastic. But when I do get sick, I just tell myself, oh, you know, it's just my immune system updating to the latest viruses. And
oh, I like that. That's
yeah,
good.
It's like,
yeah,
it's just updating. You know, like Windows computers just take forever sometimes.
Yeah.
Like sometimes it's really quick, but it's just updating to the latest viruses to keep you updated.
I must
and I think that's
so
a great
many,
way to look at it.
I must have so many updates then.
Like constantly updating because you know it keeps on failing to update.
That is a really interesting way of looking at it. And I know that when I was a lot younger, I used to tell myself that I wasn't ill, and then that placebo effect I believe actually made me get healthier quicker because of the mindset, because my mind, I was telling my mind that I wasn't
mind
ill.
mind over matter
exactly,
yeah.
And so I've lost that recently. Like I have a cough, I'm like, I'm ill.
I have diseases according to Google.
Update quicker. Literally, yeah. Oh my god, Google never.
Or shut down.
Oh, that's just sleeping. That's just sleeping, resting, restarting. Question number three.
Yes, question number three.
What is something about you that would surprise me? What is something about you that would surprise me?
I think something that surprises a lot of people actually about me is that if someone were to meet me now and see that how much of a bubbly and sociable person that I can be, and thinking that I was someone that would always be hanging out with friends like all the time and always constantly busy because I'm busy socializing and all that kind of thing.
I definitely got that impression off you when I
first met you. Yeah, exactly,
like,
right?
Oh my god, I you inspired me a little bit.
Did you?
Honestly, because I saw you walk into a lecture theatre, all these people like, hey Michelle, and you'd be like, hey, how's it going? No, you wouldn't even play it off cool. You'd be like, hey, how are you? Oh my god, you seem so friendly but so cool as well. And that's what I strive to be like, because I feel like so many people that are popular or cool, whatever, like, I wouldn't call it as popular, I just call it as just being a nice general bubbly person, like you said.
Yeah.
They do get kind of distracted by the fact that they are knowing, like, oh yeah, hi, whatever. But you every person that said hi to you, you said hi back in such a meaningful way.
And yeah, I find meeting people. I love meeting people all the time. I love making new friends, which is why people always get the impression that I'm constantly busy, yeah, so to say.
Yeah.
But in truth is, I actually have very little to do now. I'm actually like, I'm craving company half the time.
Yeah, I mean, when I saw you, you pounced on me, hugged me and said, finally human. That's what you said. And I was like, oh my god, I'm terrified.
Human contact.
Human contact.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, people always get the impression that I'm always busy, and they don't think to reach out sometimes, yeah, because they think, oh, she's just busy.
I did. I was like, I can contact Michelle, but I know she leaves Brighton soon, but she's probably busy every day.
Yeah, exactly. So
then when I opened the door to your place, literally, it had to crack through because of all the rust, I guess. I don't know.
So yeah, I guess that surprised you in some way then. I am not the very busy person that you would think I'd be.
No, but do you think that has kind of evolved because you were an introverted person, as you said, and that you've developed such an extroverted mentality that it's just allowed you to literally thrive in the extroverted environment?
I think maybe in some sense it has affected me in that way, but I think it's just something that I actually struggle with, being so sociable.
Yeah.
Because I think of myself as a social butterfly. And the thing about being a social butterfly is you literally jump from flower to flower and you never really settle on one.
Yeah.
Which is something I do struggle with even now. I don't have a constant... I feel like this might be offensive to my close friends. But I don't have a constant group of friends that I always like rely on, that I can always talk to. I don't necessarily have like a single
group.
Solid best friend.
Yeah.
That I would always turn to. Like, my best friend back home is still someone that I regularly keep in contact with, but I don't message her all the time. So I always struggle with hopping from friend group to friend group to friend group because I never really stick into one.
Yeah. I fully relate to that because I definitely class myself as like a social butterfly as well. And through literally high school and college, I remember some people in college that I spoke to after I left, they were like, Josh, you were literally... Every lunch, we'd see you join our group 5 minutes, go somewhere else, join another group 5 minutes, join somewhere else. And I completely understand it when you say you don't really have that core friendship group or like lots of miniature core friendship groups. And because every friendship we have is different.
Yeah, exactly.
And like some are close, some aren't close. But I do feel like, yeah, there isn't, same with me, there isn't that one group of people that I would be like, oh, they're my group of friends. Like there's my housemates, they're my mates.
Mm.
There's my friends back in my hometown, they're my mates. But like there's not, yeah, that. And I think it does all change maybe when you get into a relationship because of the consistency there and everything as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot about relationships. but yeah, that's completely 100% true.
Yeah.
I don't know how to place my thoughts on it. It's just sometimes when you find yourself just sitting in your room, knowing that you go through those hopping around or friendship groups, you sort of just sit down and think like,
it's exhausting
what
as
now?
Well. Yeah.
I'm alone. It's like
new friendship group. Because I don't know about you, but Bumble. Do you know Bumble?
Yeah, I know Bumble.
Yeah, they have a like a mate area where you just
oh find yeah, you find like find friend have groups you been and on all there? That. Yeah. I think I've briefly been on Bumble, like literally just to check out what this features on all that. I literally deleted it like 10 minutes later or something. I don't know, online dating is not my thing. It's probably for someone else, but not for me.
That's how my girlfriend and I met was through Tinder. which is really interesting. Because I literally was, I was so pessimistic to it. Then I was like, oh my God, I like this girl.
Oh no.
But falling. Yeah, we're falling. Help! I actually am falling.
Oh, save yourself.
Help me. Help! But no, with Bumble, mate, I feel like if you got into that, you'd be the same as me. Because I love that. I was talking to so many interesting people. And everyone on there is like us. They want to be, they want to meet new people. They want to be as extroverted as possible.
Yeah.
So yeah, in my regard, yeah, it was very much going on that in my free time. But like, everyone needs time to catch up with themselves. And social butterflying gets exhausting, as you know.
Yeah.
Like, because you get to a point where you're not used to your own company suddenly.
And yeah, then, oh, 100%. I find that quite a lot. But now with August, I mean, I'm just packing up all my stuff. I have so much time to myself where I'm just like, oh my God, oh my God, Joshua. Oh my God, he's here.
He's here.
Company.
Company. How do I speak to a human? Do I need long pauses? Help.
Yeah. That's pretty much it, really. But yeah, that Bumble Mate sounds like something.
It's really interesting. Yeah, really interesting. That does surprise me about you, that you are, I mean, obviously I do see you as like a social butterfly, but just knowing that you see yourself as that as well, because I thought you just played it off as so cool, but you acknowledge it, that you are, yeah, I am a social butterfly.
Yeah, I mean, you know, even extroverts have their downtime.
Oh, yeah.
Their own deep dark thoughts.
Yeah, every extrovert has an introverted time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's vice versa for the other way around.
Exactly. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Question number 4. What are you most excited for in your life right now?
That's a big question, so to say, especially for being a fresh graduate that's from Malaysia. Mm. Because as of right now, I'm still currently on my student visa and it expires in October. So I'm applying for jobs and trying to get visa sponsorship. So if it's, I think some part of me would be excited to get a work. Some part of me is excited to get work that does sponsor my visa, so that's a possibility.
Yeah, because it's a potential path that your life will go down over the
next. And I would love for that to happen, because I really do see my life taking a route where it leads me abroad and not back home. Mm. But I think in a more general sense, I'm excited for change, if that makes sense at all.
No, it does. It definitely does.
Yeah, I mean, coming out of a serious relationship of a year and a half and 5 months on now, and just graduating, like same position as you, and being 20 years old still.
You're so young. I'm 22.
I know, you old guy.
Excuse me.
So yeah, being 20 years old and out of a serious relationship and being a fresh grad, there is so much ahead of me. And a friend that I talked to reminded me of that I have literally my whole 20s ahead of me.
Yeah.
And it can literally go in any direction.
So it's exciting. Yeah, it literally
is. Because I know someone that is literally my age and she has basically her second kids on the way.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's weird to think literally over the last probably 5 years of our lives, we've seen so many people take different paths in their life. Like my best friend, co-host Tom Gower, he now has a kid. He has a baby. And like 2 years ago, we wouldn't have envisioned that. Like we didn't know what to expect, but we didn't expect that. And it's literally like, it is exciting because we have no idea what life's going to throw at us next or what life's going to give us next.
Yeah. And I guess it's definitely a more... Shit, what's the opposite of pessimistic?
Optimistic.
Optimistic, there we go. It's definitely a more optimistic way of viewing change.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's no point being afraid of the unknown. You should just embrace
what's going to come. It's going to happen anyway, so you might as well think positively about
it. You got to grab it by the happy balls and go along with it.
That's your other quote. So don't send back happy balls. Might be different.
Grab the happy balls.
Grab the happy balls. Oh, no.
So embracing change is definitely one
that you're excited for.
Yeah.
I know that I spoke about this a few episodes ago. I listened to this entrepreneur Gary Vanderchuk, I think his surname. I'm terrible with surnames.
Vanderchuk.
Vanderchuk.
Yeah, you can't even say my surname.
Right? Hui.
Yeah, there we go.
Hui.
Yeah. Some people have to take that out breath like Hui.
He's a business entrepreneur guy, and he always says how we're so lucky to be so young, because he started his business at 30. He started with no money. He started his business in the conference room of another business. And so he honestly thinks that between the ages of 20 and 30, you're just there to experiment and mess up as much as you can. Like, those 10 years, that decade, is for you to fail as much as possible so you know how to succeed when you're 30, which is so exciting to think. Obviously, it's different for everyone and everything, and, like, people are limited by where they can work and everything like that. But, like, it's so interesting to think that the next 8 years of my life, the next 10 years of your life, we literally have to explore our passions and see if we can maybe make a living out of that, maybe make a career out of that, even short term. And then when we're 30, it's just, obviously, I know it probably isn't very sensible, but it's nice to know that that's the boat for so many people, that they did start their lives at 30, 40, and they're in such successful careers.
Yeah, and it's a blessing if you're one of those types that, you know what you want to do as a career at the age of like 5 or something.
Yeah.
But it's definitely something that I am also going through right now, trying to figure out what I want my career to be. And the only way to find that out is to, you know, go out there and mess up and fail.
Exactly. Yeah.
Mess up and fail.
Yeah, well, mistakes. Mess up and fail. There we go. There's probably so many quotes about mistakes, but mistakes are literally so important for you. Like, my friend at the moment is going through job interviews in Brighton. She really wants to stay in Brighton because she's from Sweden. Shout out to Tess, who might be listening to this. And she's very concerned about going to a job interview and being rejected. And I'm exactly the same. I hate rejection so much. And over the last 3 years of being at university, I've had to learn and train myself to be okay with rejection and understand rejection is a good thing because you can learn from it. And criticism as well. Like, I receive criticism, especially in the first few episodes of the podcast, towards certain aspects, sound, quality of the content and stuff. But that criticism, I realize now, is so important for me to realize, to help me grow as a person. And that's why actually I released a video on the Instagram Brighter recently. I don't know if you saw that. And I spoke about how it's so important to surround yourself with the right type of people, the people that actually will support you, care for you, and the people that will inspire you to be the best possible version of yourself that you can be. And I stand by that so much, because over the last year of my life, I've had to unfortunately get rid of a few people in my life, which I was giving my time and energy to, which, to be fair, didn't really need it, because they weren't giving anything at all back, to be fair. And it's a tough process to go through, but I honestly think that if you go through it properly, you can surround yourself with supportive people, because we need to surround ourselves with supportive people to become the best possible people. So yeah, for example, like, if you wanted to pursue more YouTube stuff, I'm sure a lot of your friends have supported you, which is why maybe you're pursuing it a little bit harder, because they're like, hey, your videos are really good, you should keep doing it.
Yeah, I guess there's definitely a good aspect to think about things. I don't know why, but the YouTube thing just stuck in my head. But I know I'm definitely harder on myself when it comes to knowing how to shoot, knowing how to edit things. Like, I have so many brilliant ideas in my head.
Yeah.
And I know that my friends will support me no matter what kind of content I put out there. But it's just knowing that I can do so much more, and I see so many people do so many great things, so many different edits and all that, and great content, like, being my age and putting so many great things out there. So I know that there's potential to keep on growing there, and it's also so great to know that I have such a great support system.
Exactly, and like, you understand your potential as well. That's why you spend so much time on videos, because I feel like there is an aspect to every creative person of being a perfectionist. And like, I can imagine you sitting by your computer, editing the latest video, and literally spending maybe half an hour making sure one little animation or one little transition goes correctly.
No, I literally, I went on a travel trip with my friends recently after graduation, and that was back in June.
Yeah.
And I was vlogging the entire trip until now. It's August now, and I still have not completed.
That's okay, though. That's right. To be fair, I took a trip to Italy with my family 2 years ago. I'm 90% into this video being finished, and I still haven't finished it to release it.
I know. It's ridiculous. Like, Michelle, you can literally just do this if you just sit down and do it. But I just keep on getting distracted by so many more things. And I keep on shooting more videos, so I end up putting more stuff on my plate that I can't finish because I'm not getting rid of things that are there, like, 10 years.
It's what happens, and then it builds up. Exactly.
Yeah.
Are you afraid of burnout or that your passion will die because you're putting too much pressure toward deadlines and stuff like that? Like, are you concerned that because you're like, I've got to finish this video, sit down, do it, that maybe your passion will fade a little bit?
Maybe it's because that I actually don't set myself a deadline, which is why I'm still okay with things. Like, obviously, some people that have passions for it, they can just sit down there and just edit for like the next
I don't 20 see hours. How I can do that. Yeah. That's crazy.
Some people can do it. I don't know how they do it. I guess that they really have that passion for what they do. Not to say that we don't have a passion for it. We're just very lazy.
Exactly. And it's also like, we enjoy the editing process as well. The editing of audio files or YouTube videos or whatever.
Editing is a lot harder than shooting, in my opinion.
It is. Editing is like 60% of it, if not more, isn't it? It's like filming stuff and making stuff and planning stuff and researching stuff really isn't as much. Researching is a lot, but editing is a massive portion. Yeah.
It's just really tough. Yeah. Not that I will get burnout. I think people usually get burnout is when they literally work themselves too hard to the bone.
And
we don't do that when it's our own personal project because we literally take our time with it. But the whole burnout thing is actually one of the reasons why I'm sort of contemplating whether I should take a creative path for my career.
Really?
Because I love photography, but I don't know if I would want to do photography as a career because I'm afraid that it will turn something that I love as a hobby into something that I dread as work.
Yeah, that's the thing. And like, I think maybe it's the same with you going into the placement. Was it a placement?
Internship
that you did. Same with me. And like, you explore something which you're so passionate in, and because suddenly it's in a deadline setting, it's in a business setting, that passion kind of wobbles a little bit, sometimes fades. And I think a few aspects that I didn't expect to grow and grow into passions in the workplace has grown for me. It's amazing. Like, it's probably the same for you as well. It's probably marketing aspects that you saw and you were like, oh, that's really interesting. And you've developed maybe some more passions in that. But for me, the design stuff, once you have to actually follow a deadline or follow a guideline, it does kind of ruin the fun a little bit.
Yeah, it definitely does. Some people, I don't know how some people do it, but I think for me, it definitely does, especially when there's a lot of pressure on you to finish it there and then. And you know you want to keep it at some standard of quality because you just expect that much out of yourself.
Yeah.
So, but when you have all these things like pressuring you and it's just, everything's just tumbling down, you're just like, ah, I can't do it anymore.
Exactly. When the pressure kicks in as well. Okay, final question. Question number 5. Are you ready?
Yeah, hit me.
Would you describe yourself as more of an optimist, a pessimist, or a realist?
I definitely swing more on the optimist, realist side. I think, to be fair, I'm being an optimist saying that I'm a realist.
I'm an optimist and a realist. Okay, very optimistic of you. Yeah.
I'm definitely more optimistic than I am a pessimist. I definitely used to be a pessimist, I think, but that grew out, as I grew, out of that introverted phase. Not to say that introverts are pessimists, but those two,
they go hand in hand quite well.
Yeah, for me, at least in my experience. I was in a very dark place in the time, so. But yeah, I definitely grew into become a optimist, with that idol person that person that inspired me to be a better person.
Yeah.
So it grew hand in hand for me, and it's something that I'm very grateful for even till today, because some people can see that I am this bubbly person also because I'm an optimist. I don't know.
I get what you mean. There was probably so many occasions where I saw you in classes and in lecture theatres where you seem so bubbly and so happy, but there might have been something really bad going on behind the scenes. And like, I feel for like natural optimists, they can't be negative or pessimistic because they literally live their life being positive even in the worst of times. I know that for myself, I think I become more optimistic in times of struggle, I think, because I know that being optimistic makes me happy. I enjoy being optimistic.
Yeah, I definitely understand like being optimist in times of struggle because, you know, you wanna hope for the best for your own well-being. So you always picture the best possible scenario that you might find yourself in the future.
Exactly.
Or whatever situation you might find yourself in. And I guess it's something that we do. I think you consider, I would see you as an optimist as well.
Yeah, yeah. I know that a few mornings ago, I had probably one of the most unluckiest mornings I've ever had. Or like, I peed your bed. Huh?
You peed
my bed.
Oh, God.
And I knew I did as well. I peed right on it. No. I burnt my toast twice, set off the fire alarms.
Very nice.
What else I do?
Starting a cooking show, are you?
What? No. I stubbed my toe as well, I think, like, literally as soon as I woke up. I was just having a really bad hair day, naturally, as well. It was just... I drove to work, and it was my fault for drinking tea whilst driving. Well, I got my girlfriend who sat next to me to feed me tea whilst I'm driving. But it went all over my, like, trousers, looked like I wet myself. It was really hot. It was a hot day anyway. It was just, like, one of the most unluckiest mornings. But I laughed it off. I was like, this is funny because, obviously, things... I believe things happen for a reason, but when that many bad things happen in a row, even though they're small things, I just think it's just funny how it all lines up. It's like if lots of good things happen in a row, I think that's funny. I think it's funny, like, it's a coincidence, but it all happens at the same time. Like, do you believe in everything happens for a reason? Do you believe in that quote?
I think I do, yeah. I don't necessarily believe in the quote, if it's meant to be, it will be.
Yeah, no, me neither. No, because that's kind of like, well, if everything's settled, then I'll just... Yeah, I won't.
Even though, like, those two quotes have some form of overlap. But in terms of the other quote, if it's meant to be, it'll be, I don't necessarily believe in it because if you want something, you have to put some form of effort to make it what you want it to be.
If you live with that, then it's like, oh, I'll lean back, I won't do anything. And then if I'm supposed to be famous, I'll be famous.
Or something exactly. Like that. So you got to work your butt off if you want to be famous.
Yeah, yeah. Work your butt off. That's your new quote. And then the two words you're going to send back is butt off.
Butt off.
Butt off. What does this mean, older Michelle?
But yeah, going back to what you just said about how laughing it off is sort of like an optimist's way of looking at a series of
dealing with stuff. Yeah.
That's definitely true. I can't think of an instance where I've laughed things off.
I've cried things off.
Cried things off plenty of times probably, but just saying how ridiculous things are sometimes.
Yeah.
It's definitely something I've done quite often.
Yeah. Well, you finished five questions.
Five questions.
How'd you feel?
That's a bit. It's actually pretty fun.
Relieved a little bit. It is a lot of fun. It is a lot of fun. And that because we've gone through, this is your first podcast that you've been on. Hopefully, I would love to get you on at least one more Having Words podcast.
Yeah. In the next foreseeable future. If you come back down from London at some point.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well. You should definitely come back on. Now, I want to quickly talk about your YouTube.
My more rather like
career. No, to be fair, like it's only a few videos that I've seen. I think
it's literally like two videos, and then one of them is like a foundation course project.
But like they're quality videos as well. And like, so did you do that because of your university course, because of your passion? Was it a challenge? Do you want to pursue a YouTube career?
I wouldn't necessarily say that I want to start a YouTube career, but I'm in the point of my life now where I have the summer to myself, well, until I start working, but I have this period to myself and I really want to do something productive with it. And I, when I take a step back and I look at like what kind of things I would have to offer to companies that would make me more appealing, I mainly have photography and probably my bubbly self.
Yeah.
And
to be fair, companies these days are more looking for personality than anything else.
Yeah, like everyone says that, but do they actually advertise, oh, we want a bubbly person? Well, no, they don't say that. Then you can't. They won't know what kind of person you are until you get to the interview stage. Some point, by that point, like they may have already, you know,
made their mind up.
Yeah, exactly. Because everything that they see at first glance is, well, your profile or your CV. So when I took a step back and I look at how little I actually have to offer to companies, I was like, okay, Michelle, you're going to need to expand your skill set or hone your skills a bit more. So I thought of tapping into videography because I know there's quite a lot of demand for videographers.
It goes hand in hand with photography.
Yeah, exactly. But not to say that anyone can be a photographer, but anyone can be a photographer.
Anyone can be a photographer, but you'd have to be good to be a good photographer.
Exactly. So I wanted to go beyond that a little bit and tap into videography. So I started trying to shoot more sort of travel video.
Yeah. Because they are fun, like they are fun, appealing videos to watch as well, travel videos.
Yeah, and I enjoy shooting travel videos a lot, but I wanted to take that a step further and actually try vlogging, which even now I still struggle with a lot because I literally have no idea how to vlog. I don't know how to speak to a camera.
Yeah.
And when I'm looking at the... because my camera has a flip screen, so I'm mainly looking at the screen rather than looking at the lens, which is not the point. So it's all still a whole learning process and it's been really difficult, but...
Exciting as well, challenging.
Yeah, exactly. It's definitely a challenge and... so far, it has been a lot of fun. I just need to put the hours into actually sitting down editing it, yeah. Like I said.
Yeah.
Because I know that a lot of things that I've shot, whether it's vlog style or a travel video style, even though those are quite similar, some things I've shot are really good. And I'm actually proud of myself for shooting them. It's just actually putting the time in, the hours in.
To edit it as well. And like, yes. I don't know about you, but I love the editing process so much.
You should be my friend. Oh, should we are friends.
I'll edit. Because we're not friends currently. I love the editing process, especially when it comes to travel stuff, because there's so many creative paths and so many creative things that you could add to it as well. Like you could add, oh my, I'm just thinking about it, like, oh my god, there's so many different creative animations, like transitions, narrative ways of storytelling a travel vlog.
Yeah.
And like, to be fair, like you can make a probably, because you do travel a lot. I mean, I suppose more than me. So you could make a fair amount of some travel content, and that would be appealing to a lot of people.
Yeah. And I see there's a lot of things that I could do with all that content. And I literally have formed the entire like product of the video in my head. It's just, I haven't sat down to actually edit it yet.
Yeah.
Because whenever I do like a little section of the video edit, and I'm thinking, oh, I could improve it by adding this and this and this, and I just spend like hours on that little like 5-second clip, and I just get nowhere by the end of the day.
Yeah.
But I see the potential in me improving so much more. So I just really want to expand my skill set this summer, and I think I've sort of did that. Actually improved more in probably my photography rather than videography, but I'm really glad I did take the time to put in some hours into trying to do videography, because it's definitely a area that a lot of companies are sort of demanding now.
They are, and like, it's, to be fair, eventually down the line you probably would have to have learned it anyway, so it's good you're kind of doing it off your own back a little bit, like a bit because of your own decision.
Yeah. And I actually think the internship that I'm actually going to go into in September, they're actually going to look into wanting me to do some videography stuff,
so that'd be really cool.
That's really gonna put my skills to the test. Yeah. What limited stuff that I've learned by myself and watching my YouTube videos. Yeah.
How exciting! That's gonna be so much fun. Do you see yourself maybe doing YouTube a little bit more full time? Well, not full time, but like taking it maybe a little bit more seriously, doing like one video a week.
I think in a realistically, I know I probably can't. Okay. I mean, I can, but.
You could do.
I could do, but I would need to be very strict with myself and actually set deadlines, which the whole thing comes again about like, but deadlines, and it's just going to ruin the whole experience for me, yeah. That kind of thing. But I would love to be more serious with more video creation. I would love to be more serious, more YouTube stuff. Or even if it's not YouTube or Vimeo? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just really just putting in the hours and going out there and shoot at every opportunity that I get.
Yeah.
And just keep on shooting and editing and shooting and editing. That's the thing. Because that's the only way you improve.
Yeah. Where you literally edit everything. Even if the content's bad and you're not going to release it, you should probably edit it anyway. I mean, you shouldn't, because it's going to be time consuming. But literally edit everything. And like, I feel like if you do want to follow that career path, or that kind of, maybe not career path, but that passion path, you do need to get into the habit of, like you said, recording everything. Recording you waking up in the morning, you doing this. And also like exploring your avenues. I know that when I was making YouTube videos in first year, they were just like vlogs of us walking to the gym and chatting. And like for me, it was the editing aspect that I love so much. I would try new things, such as I set up a camera in my room, and this isn't going where it sounds like it's going. I set up a camera in my room, and
because, but I go over
and it was just me picking up like all the plastic water bottles from my room and putting them in a bin, like bringing them up to the camera, showing them, and then on the editing they'd count how many bottles. I think that was something like 40 plastic bottles.
Why do you have so many plastic bottles in your room in the first place?
In first year, the water tastes weird to me, so I just bought bottles from Co-op. I know. Oof, it's not good.
Living that little posh life.
Hello, in Northfield. it wasn't very good, so I did a video of all of that. And like, I edited it and everything. I'm not going to release it, because who's going to watch me for like half an hour collecting bottles and everything?
I mean, actually, if you edit that properly, even you can do a speed ramp, and every time
I did speed up bits, in between, and then it stopped when I showed the
camera. Exactly. That wouldn't be half an hour. Okay, I would watch you recycle bottles if it means something.
Thanks. One view. Wait, that's my view. She didn't watch it. But like anything to explore your creativity. And I honestly think like the videos you've made so far are really impressive for somebody who doesn't really have much experience in videography, but like you're using your photography skills and like setting up a scene and like the mise-en-scene and everything perfectly, and that translates so well into video, and it's so clear in video. Like, if you honestly wanted to pursue more creative stuff in video rather than photography, I would so support that, because your photography stuff is great on your Instagram and stuff, your photography Instagram.
But videography is definitely a whole different ball game from photography. Some people actually say that photography is harder than videography, in terms of the meaning behind
each image.
Exactly, whereas videography is just moving images, so it doesn't necessarily have to have deeper meanings per se. Whereas photography, if you really want to go into the high professional life, you have to make each shot count, and some people find that much more difficult than videography.
I know that I would, to be fair. Like, I've done some video stuff in the past, and I've loved it. And I've loved, you know, getting certain, like, tracks on and everything. But, like, when it comes to photography and getting one set shot, I wouldn't even know where to begin with that. Because I think videographers look up, they set shots of, like, where it could go next. You know, every shot has a before and after. Or, like, at the very least.
At least they have some form of, like, idea in their head of how they want the framing to go.
Exactly, yeah.
Whereas photography, it's just that one point in time.
Literally. That one point needs to say the entire narrative.
Yeah.
That one shot, which is crazy to think.
But yeah, videography is just tough right now. I really want to work on it more. And I keep telling myself every day, just work on the vlog. Just keep working at it. And
keep fucking crying. Keep working on it whilst watching like Love Island or something.
I'm cycling through all like old Netflix shows again and again and again. And it's just never ending. Okay, I have a question for you. What is something you think that everyone should at least do once in their life? I kind of like having that question asked, because for me personally, one of the couple things that I have on that list right now is that I think people should at least live abroad at least once in their life for a certain amount of time.
To experience it.
Yeah, exactly. Because you learn so much about yourself and about other cultures. And I've been very fortunate to say that I have studied abroad in England for like the past 3, almost 4 years of my life now. And it has changed me so much. Mm. So that's something I would definitely recommend to everyone else.
Yeah.
And this isn't like a bucket list kind of say, because bucket lists can be tailored to, you know, to your own self. But
exactly,
this is something that I think everyone should at least do once in their life.
Yeah.
If they can.
I like that aspect of that attitude of doing it, because a bucket list is kind of like it's a chore. Whereas what you just said of like spending a year or so away or living somewhere else is an experience that will change you. You know, bucket list, skydiving, like I learned from that and everything, but it's also like, living abroad is like a full-on experience. That's more than more than a checklist on a bucket list.
Yeah, exactly. And like the second thing on my list is, well, if you could see me, I have like a fuzzy head now, so
you look great.
Yeah, I shaved my head, which is another thing on that list.
That looks so good. So how long has that been on your list for?
When I was catching up with one of my exes recently, she said that I had this thing, I was speaking about it to her even when I was with that ex, and that relationship was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So I had that thing on my list for at least 5 years.
So why now? What made you do it now? Was it literally the conversation you had?
I guess I wanted to do it now because having gone out of a serious relationship as well, I now have this my whole life in my hands, and I don't have to accommodate to anyone else or something. And I had the summer to myself.
Mm.
So if I don't do it now, when else am I going to do it?
Exactly.
Because then I'm like, if I didn't do it in beginning of August, I would have started work in September, and I want to look somewhat decent in September.
So that's
I was
the thing,
Michelle, you got to do it now, so you let your hair grow out a little bit.
Yeah. Also, I feel like that's a positive excuse that you told yourself as well, because you know there will be times in the future where you can shave your hair off once you're settled down in like an internship or job or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Because you have to, I mean, not that you should care so much about your outer image, but you also want to maintain some form of professionalism for your own standards.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just went.
It looks good though. It looks really good. Honestly.
Yeah, I've actually gotten quite a lot of compliments when I first did it.
And yeah.
I'm actually really glad I did it because I grabbed it by the happy balls.
I grabbed it by the happy balls. I'm gonna use that quote next week. You know, I learned this quote by this wise person one day. Grab the life by the shit. I messed it up. Yeah.
So yeah, and it's very liberating to do. I can definitely tell you that. Like I actually wanted to do it by myself with just like a shaver that I have.
Yeah.
And just shave my hair in like in the bathroom or something. Yeah. But I contemplated about it and I didn't know how to.
Did you record it?
I briefly recorded it. So I ended up going to the barbers actually to this.
That's cool. Yeah.
To this barbers that I always go to regularly.
Yeah.
Because
it is a big thing for yourself to shave off your hair.
Yeah. And
so like you might as well make a grand gesture of it, going to the hairdresser. I want it all off. What's that? I want it all off. Shave it.
So yeah, I went to the barbers and I told my barber. I actually told my barber like a month or like 3 weeks before that I was going to shave my head and I shook on it. So I made sure I told a lot of people so that I couldn't go back on my word.
Yeah. Yeah, you're like, I've told all these people. Wait, I've actually got to do it?
Yeah, so it's like to solidify my own words that I was going to do it. So I went to barbers and I got it done. And during the process, well, the first bit of shaving, I asked if he could let me do it. And really? So he passed me the shaver and just started shaving my head a little
crying at the same time.
No, it was like, I was more like nervous that I think I was going to fuck up or something.
The thing is, once you've done a patch, you're like, I might as well finish it.
Yeah. I literally just shaved like the first...
Right in the middle.
Like right in the middle and like the first... 3 inches of my forehead.
So and then you stopped. You're like, oh.
No. Okay, you take it down because I don't want to hold it.
Yeah.
But it was a very liberating experience, and I would recommend anyone to do it. For I think a couple of reasons actually, because sort of to de-attach from the hair as a whole entity.
Yeah, because so I know
some people are obsessed with their hair and they would never do anything to it.
I was as well in like high school, college. I was like, it has to be perfect before I leave the house in the morning. But now like that's something which I would find quite thrilling and like obviously you asked me the question like what would I like to do once in my life or what would be on my bucket list. I don't know about shaving my hair because I think in my head it's like it's a cool thing to do. I'd love to do it and like
I think you should do
I don't think it scares me enough.
If it doesn't scare you, you should do it even more.
Yeah, you're right. I should do. But like you said, yeah.
Plant the seed in your head now. It's only going to start growing from here.
I start making excuses. I'll do it. Yeah,
Just give it 5 years.
give it 62 years. Josh, you're going to lose your hair by then anyway, all the wax you put in.
Yeah.
I think the one thing that I do in my life...
Like this kind of question is not something people think about often, but it's just something like a list that I started forming in my head. Because it's more like a life checkoff list rather than a bucket list.
Yeah.
If I can put it that
way. It definitely is, yeah.
I think if I could do it again, I would want to put living abroad again on the list for me. And just
Live abroad twice, okay, Michelle. Yeah. 3 times.
It makes you grow so much. And every time you go to a different country, you grow in other ways.
Mm.
Sadly for me, it's not my height.
Oh, no. I actually, to be fair, I know this is me copying it out, but I honestly think it would be your one, which is living in another country.
It definitely is. I don't see myself living in Malaysia in the future. I definitely see myself migrating at some point in my life.
Yeah. Because I feel like, for me, travel isn't like, oh, I want to travel the world and everything. I don't really see the appeal in that. But the appeal of living somewhere and having your entire routine and your lifestyle in another country with another culture, with maybe another language, that's thrilling. That's scary. That's... a challenge that I would love to actually do. I just don't know when in my life I'd get the opportunity to do that. But I suppose, like you, obviously, university, that's kind of an opportunity, but you still had to make that opportunity for you. You had to make the decision to go to the UK, to go to university.
Yeah. I think, actually, if it's anything, you should do it in your 20s.
Do it right now. Should I go with you back to Malaysia?
Maybe you should. Maybe not Malaysia. Malaysia's not the greatest place.
Oh.
I love my country and everything, but...
Maybe not there for the first living somewhere else.
Yeah, well, some people actually find it amazing, but maybe I think you should definitely do it, especially in your 20s when you're still young and you still have all the energy.
I still have the possibilities to do it. Yeah, so
you should before you're old and grey and you're can't still travel. Not shaving your head.
So you're on the can't fly list, please. Yeah, you're right.
I would recommend. So
Before we finish up, Michelle, do you have any shout outs, any people you want to shout out, any projects you want to shout out? I want you to shout out your Instagram and your YouTube as well, for so our viewers can check out your videos and your photography and everything.
I just
only
have like 2 videos on that thing.
That's fine. Yeah, but you're going to make more because you're in the process of editing videos.
Yeah.
This is you swearing to the audience that you're going to finish at least one of those videos.
Okay.
By the end
okay.
of this month.
By the end of the month? No, I'm so busy.
Too bad. I don't make up the rules. Trust me, literally just make up the rules.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, who are you going to shout out? Who are you going to shout out?
I think I definitely want to shout out to all of my housemates that I've lived with in the past few years of my university life, because what would be uni life without them? And especially my close group of friends. I say close group of friends, not core group of friends. I don't know. It's a choice of word.
Yeah.
Because they've always been there, even in the rough times. And they've always fed me. And you know, food is important in a university student's life.
Yeah.
Definitely to my family, just very cliche kind of things.
That's right, that's fine.
And on the topic of growing and learning, I guess on a different level, I guess shout out to all my exes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. No, that's a good shout out.
Because, you know, they taught me so much and I wouldn't be here today without them.
Yeah. They made you who you are, and obviously, like, some of them might have been bad experiences, some of them might have been tough experiences, but they were experiences which have made you who you are.
And if you can, I think everyone should shout out to all their exes.
Yeah, definitely.
Even all the shitty relationships that they've all been through, because you wouldn't know what you know today without those experiences.
Yeah.
And even if it's not relationships, it could just be, like, toxic friendships. I'm sure you learned something out of getting out of that.
Like I was saying earlier, like, I went through kind of an audit of my friends. That sounds really professional. I went through my friends and I got rid of one, which was a very close friend of mine who was kind of backing himself away anyway, and so it was easy for me to do, but because of our history it was painful. It was really difficult for me to actually accept it, but I'm so glad I did. So thank you to that person.
Yeah, thank you very much, all those people, and make sure you show some love to them.
Yeah.
Not exes, but if you want to, you could, but just people in your life.
So your message is to get back with your... Okay.
No. Take it back. Save yourself.
And finally, Michelle, wait, where can people find you?
They can find me on my Instagram at... my Instagram username is a bit funny because it's not actually Michelle, but it's Michaela.
Michaela, how do you spell that?
Michaela.
Yeah.
Eliza.
Yeah.
Yeah. Elizabeth is my my middle name.
Yeah.
Second name. Is there even a difference in that?
It's the same. It's the same thing. Yeah. Middle name, second name.
Yeah. So you can find me on Michaela Eliza.
Yeah. And then your photography account?
My photography account is meh.wy, which is easy. The initials of my entire name. So
that's
nice one to crack.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
And I want you to shout out your YouTube anyway. Is it just your name?
My YouTube is literally just Michelle Hui, probably. I'm not sure if you can even find it. There's probably like a billion Michelle Hui's.
We're going to tag it in the description below. We're also going to put it on our Facebook page so you guys can check that out.
All right, cool. Awesome.
Michelle, you've done your first podcast. How do you feel?
I am feeling pretty good, actually. It was a lot more fun than I thought it would be.
Exactly. It's just chill. It's just a chat.
Yeah. You don't have an overwhelming, like, lens of a camera looking at me.
Well, actually, I'm recording this from over there.
Oh no.
And final comment before I read out the end credits.
Well, I think as a little side note, I guess I'll shout out to my lovely host Joshua as well.
Oh, thank you. I'm gonna shout you out. Thank you, Michelle, for coming on and making it on as well. Yeah,
thanks for the 3 years of friendship. It's been a wild journey.
Yeah, even though before we started, it took me half an hour to pronounce your surname. But yeah, thank you for much. What's my surname? What's my surname?
Martello. See, I know. I'm
you
a do, good
but
friend.
You call me Martello. Anyway, guys, thank you for listening. Thank you, Michelle. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and on Reddit. You can listen to us on Spotify, iTunes, and literally any other podcast directory out there. You can support us on Patreon at patreon.com/havingwords. Feel free to leave an iTunes review if you enjoyed today's episode. And we'll see you next week. Michelle,
lovely
having you on. Goodbye.
Love you guys.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. And if you enjoyed the episode, let us know by sending us an email at havingwordspodcast@gmail.com or by writing a review on iTunes or Facebook.